Okay, Pashas Vaschanon, Shabbos Nachamu. Okay. Okay, we'll say with some old ones, some repeat, and we'll say some new Divrei Torah. It's getting harder to find a new Divrei Torah because we said over a lot, so it's
We forget.
Okay, I'm gonna go a little bit out of order. We'll come back to the beginning of the parasha a little bit later. Okay, in Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis, a little bit later on in the parasha, the pasuk says, "L'man tiras Hashem l'kecha, nor you should fear Hashem, lishmar es kol chukayso from the tzvoyis of Hashem noichi mitzaveka, to watch all the chukma mitzvahs that I commanded you, ato." Uvincha, uven bincha. You and your sons, your children, and your grandchildren, kol yomecha yecha, all the days of your life, uleman yarichu yomecha, shvizaycha ta'arichus yomim, to live a long life.
Amen.
Chayri, the pasuk seems to be a little bit out of order. The pasuk says to watch all the chukam that I commanded you, you and your sons and your grandsons, and then it says, kol yomecha yecha, all the days of your life. It would have sounded a little bit better had the pasuk says to watch all my chukim, ato you, when all the days of your life, and then your children and your grandchildren. Why does the pasuk put in kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life, after it interrupts you, your children and your grandchildren, all the days of your life? It should have said ato you, your whole life, and then your children and your grandchildren. So the one answer that I saw is that the pasuk is teaching us the yisoid. Many times we go through life and we feel very comfortable with ourselves. We feel, Baruch Hashem, I'm an Elul Chayyid, I go to shul 3 times a day, Shomer Shabbos, I eat kosher, I keep the mitzvahs, I go out to learn. What, how much better can it get? How much better can it be? Sometimes we feel a little bit too sure of ourselves. It says the pasuk, Ata uvincho benincho. Be careful to keep all the chukim. You and your children and your grandchildren. And then again, kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life. Don't think because you already have children, you already have grandchildren, you're showing secure already, you reach a different stage of life, you don't have to worry anymore. If I keep the chukim until now, kept all the mitzvahs, I'll be able to keep them all further. I don't have anything to worry about. I settle down, I don't have to worry about the Yetzer Hara. What am I worried about? I'm settled, the young years are behind me. Says the pasuk again, kol yemei chayecha. Even after you have your grandchildren, you're already well on in life, kol yemei chayecha, watch out. You have to make an effort every day of your life, your entire life, no matter what situation a person is in, no matter how old, where he's holding, to watch the chukim, to keep all the mitzvahs. The Yetzer Hara doesn't stop. It doesn't matter how old the person is, how settled the person is, the Yetzer Hara doesn't stop. And the classical example is the Gemara in Brachos, Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol. 80 years was a Kohen Gadol. 80 years. So he must have been close to 100 years old, if not more. At the end, he became a tztuki. He became a tztuki at the end. He blew it all at the end. A Kohen Gadol after 80 years, and the Yetzer Hara somehow was able to overcome it. So the pasuk, kol yemei chayecha. No matter how old you are, no matter where you are, be careful all your life. Kol yemei chayecha. A person has to go ahead and make sure to watch and keep all the mitzvahs, because the Yetzer Hara is always there to attack a person. They say over a mice the Rishina, as is well known, used to travel with royalty. He used to use a fancy carriage. His mahalach was fancy. And I'll call upon him. It was only on the outside, not on the inside. But they say over the story, the Rishna was once traveling, and he used to travel in a carriage that was pulled by 4 horses. And he's traveling in this carriage with 4 horses. And as he's traveling, he meets another Rebbe coming the other way with an old rickety carriage being pulled by 1 horse. And they meet on the road. So the Rishna says to the other Rebbe, he says, you know, if you need some help, I can help you out. Maybe your package, your wagon is too heavy. You need some help. I Baruch Hashem, a wagon with 4 horses. I can help you out. So maybe you want to put something in my wagon, or somebody wants to sit in my wagon. I can help you out with my wagon and my 4 horses. And the other Rebbe answers back, and he says to the Rishna, just the opposite. You don't have to help me, but I have to help you. He says, you're so secure in your wagon with your 4 horses. You're so trustworthy, you trust in them so much that you have to be careful where you're going. You are so, you have such faith in your four horses that no matter where you go and where you travel, your four horses will take you out. You have to be careful, they shouldn't get stuck in the mud, because the horses might not be able to take you out. He says, me, I have my small little wagon. I know that if I get stuck in the mud, I have no way to get out. So I'm very careful when I drive my wagon not to get stuck in the mud. I watch every step of the way. But you, with your four horses, you have so much faith in your four horses, confidence in your four horses, you have to be very careful that you only end up getting stuck in the mud. And that's us. We go through life. So much faith. I'm secure. Baruch Hashem, I come to learn at night. I have a shul. I have a rov. I have a mishpah. Everything's fine. The Eitz Horus, no, not going to come at all. I have my four horses. Everything's secure. Everything's beautiful. But the Eitz Horus creeps in. The Eitz Horus comes. And the Eitz Horus does come in. Yoichanan Kohen Gadol, after 80 years, the Eitz Horus was able to win him over and make him into a tzaddiki. Kol yimei chayecha. All the days of your life, a person has to be careful and watch out for the Eitz Horus. Okay, I'll say over Marshall, I said over many times. If it's, everybody heard it, and
it's good to say
no, that. You can tell me and we'll move on. That's all. We have in this week's parasha, the Aseret HaDibrois, Shabbos, Sheishis Yom Metavo, Evesisikha Malachtecha, Perik Hei, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yudalot, Esvov. And we all know that the Gemara tells us that a person's mezainis is set in Shemayim from one Rosh Hashanah till the next, how much money he's going to earn and how much mezainis he's going to have during the year. Chutz, meitzois, shabbosos, yom tovim. Besides for the money he spends on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The money a person spends for Shabbos and Yom Tov is not part of the cheshbon. And the more a person spends, the more Kadosh Baruch Hu pays him back. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, b'ni, lovo alai, borrow on my cheshbon, v'ani pereya. And I'll pay back. Shabbos is exempt from the cheshbon of Mizaynis Rosh Hashanah. There are other shitas. I saw it's part of the Talmud Torah, Rosh Chodesh. There's a ritzvah that says all mitzvahs. There's a ritzvah that writes that all mitzvahs, expenses that a person spends on any mitzvah at all, is not included in the cheshbon of a person's Mizaynis for the year. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu is a separate cheshbon for money a person spends on any mitzvah. A Kopam, the Duma Magid, has his famous marshal, which I said over, and if, there were once a father and three sons. And the two sons already, the two older sons went out into the world. They went into their own, they went and made their own way. One son was very matzliach, he became very rich. And the other son was a lo yitzlach, wasn't successful, a shumazel. He was an oni, very poor, a shumazel, didn't have much. And there was a third son, a young son still at home. No, time goes on, the young son at home grows up, becomes a chassan, time to get married. And the father celebrates, and he wants to make sure that his two married sons with the families from far away come to the wedding. So he writes a letter to the rich son, and he says to the rich son, he brought his a chassan, and the wedding's gonna be in such and such a date, and this place, and I want you to come. And I want you to spend whatever it is for the chasana. Spend as much money as you need. And all the money you spend in my honor, says the father, I'll pay you back every penny. I'll pay you back everything that you spend in my honor. Don't spare any expense. Buy yourself new clothing, come in a new carriage, buy yourself new, whatever you need. Come prepared for the chasana in my honor and come dressed. And make sure to bring your brother also. Make sure to bring your poor brother also, his family, and take care of them. And come, and all the money you spend, remember, I'll pay you back every penny that you spent. No, the rich brother gets such a letter, he doesn't need a second invitation. His father promised to pay him back every penny that he spends. The next day, the shopping starts. And he goes on a spree from every clothing. He needs, of course, five suits. One suit for the chuppah, one suit for the chasana, one suit for Sheva Brachis, one suit for traveling, and his wife needs, I don't know how many dresses, and her children, and Gehenna, so on and so on. And for weeks and weeks and weeks, always busy doing his shopping and buying. And every time his wife says, but it's getting very expensive.
Don't worry.
He says, don't worry. I'll pay you back every penny. Nothing to worry about. And finally, the date that the chasana is coming closer, and they hire a fancy carriage to take them, with four white horses, to pick them up and bring them to the chasana. And they're waiting for the carriage, they're anticipating the trip to the chasana, and suddenly the rich brother says, Oyvei, I forgot about my poor brother. I forgot to tell him to come to the chasana. I was so busy preparing and shopping and getting everything ready, I forgot about my poor brother and his family to come. Quickly, he sends a messenger to the poor brother, I'm sending a carriage for you, come to the chasana. And of course, there's no time for the poor brother to buy new clothing, for his family to buy clothing to come. There's no time to hire a fancy carriage. And this old rickety rundown carriage pulls up by the poor brother's house, and the poor brother and his family get into the carriage. In front of the rich brother's house, a nice fancy white carriage with the white horses pulls up, and they get inside. And you have two carriages going to the chasana. The rich brother and his carriage, and his family, all dressed nicely, fitting for the chasana. The poor brother dressed like an oni with his family going to the chasana. The two carriages pull up by the wedding hall, and of course, the white carriage with the white horses makes a big impression, and everybody looks who comes out, and oohs and ahs, and the father is standing there, and people say, oh, okay, nice son, and his family, they're beautifully dressed, and so on. And then the poor wagon comes, and now comes the brother, the Ani, dressed in his poor clothes, and his family dressed like the Aniim that they were, in the old carriage, and everyone's talking, oh, look at Nebuch, the poor brother, oh, that's how he comes dressed in the chasana, look at the family, and so on. They spend time by the chasana, sheva brachas. Finally, it's time to leave. And the rich brother knows that before he leaves, he has to make sure that his father pays him up. So the night before he leaves, he writes up an itemized bill from beginning to end. Every single penny he spent, every suit that he bought, every shirt, every hat, every dress, the carriage, the horses, from A to Z. And the next morning, he goes into his father to say goodbye, and he presents his father with the bill, and he says, Ta, I know that there was a beautiful chasana, but we have to leave, and I just want to remind you that you promised that you're going to pay back every penny that I spent. So just to make things, pretty clear what it is, here's an itemized bill. And her father says, Seischem Shalom, have a nice trip, nice seeing you, it was very good, goodbye. And the father's ready to walk out. And the son says, the bill? Didn't you promise you're going to pay me back? I'm leaving now, I'm leaving. And the father says, very nice. Say Shalom Shalom. Have a nice trip. And the son says, but I'm leaving and pay up. The father, it's time to pay up. I'm leaving. And the father says, I said, Say Shalom Shalom. It was nice seeing you. Nice seeing the family. It was very nice that you came. But that's it. And the son says, what do you mean that's it? Aren't you going to pay me back for all the money that I spent? And the father says, read the letter very carefully. And he starts reading the letter. And the letter says, I'll pay you back for all the money that you spent in my honor. For my honor. And the father says to him, did you spend any of that money for my honor? Or did you spend it for yourself? All the money that you spent for yourself. Because you wanted to look nice. You wanted to come in a nice carriage. You wanted to have nice clothing. And the raya is, if you would have cared about me, said the father, you would have made sure that my poor son, your poor brother, also came dressed with nice clothing and came properly. Since you didn't take care of him, it shows that you weren't concerned about my honor, my covet, you're only concerned about yourself. If that's the case, I don't owe you anything. Because the letter said, I'll pay you back whatever you spent in my honor. So the Dunu Magid, that's the same with Shabbos. We have Avtocha, that whatever money we spend for Shabbos, Lavolai, Bani Parei, Hashem pays back. But that's only if you spend the money in Hashem's honor. Not when we spend the money because we want to eat and we have to, and we have our tithes that we want to fulfill, and we use Shabbos as the excuse to fulfill our tithes, to our drinking, our eating, our resting. That's not called in my honor. If we really did it for Hashem's honor, we'd make sure that Aniyim have food for Shabbos also. We'd make sure that those people don't have a place to stay for Shabbos. And those people don't have what to eat. They also had what to eat. They have where to stay. They have Shabbos, Sarah Sadibis. Shabbos. No? If it was in my honor, you would have made sure that your poor brother also had a place to stay for Shabbos, a place to eat for Shabbos. You only care about yourself. For that, I'm not responsible to pay you back. The Haftach is only when you spend in my honor, we spend in honor of Hashem. We come to the Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Rabbi Shishi. You have to is Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'idecha. And Rashi tells us, what does it mean, b'chol ma'idecha? It says Rashi, b'chol ma'idecha, with all your money. You should love Hashem with all your money. So Rashi is bothered by Akasha. It just said, b'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, with your life.
If you have to love Hashem with your life, of course with your money. Which is more important? Your money or your life? So Rashi brings down the Gemara. The Gemara says, because Yesh Lecha Adam, there were those people, Shemamayinoi Chavav Olav Megufay, whose money is more important, more beloved to him than his body. He cares about his money more than his life. Lekach Nema, therefore it says, B'chol Moidecha. Therefore it says, love Hashem with all your money. Those people that are machshiv the money even more than their life, even with the machshiv the most, the money, they have to give away for the love of Hashem. Okay, it's very difficult to understand. There are many pshatim that are said. One pshat is that tzaddikim, m'moinim chob ha-megufin, because the tzaddik's money is honest. There's not a shemetz of gezel, a sheker in his money at all. Since his money is purely honest, now pi ha-tayra, his money is very choshev. But posh pshat is very little difficult to understand. We say over a story of Zisha, once was traveling around from town to town. He went into Golos, he was traveling around from town to town. And he comes into a town, and he was hungry. He needed food to eat. So he asked, is there a Gabbite stock in the town that I could go to and, you know, maybe have something to eat? So they said, you picked the wrong town. In this town, everybody's aniyim. In this town, we're all aniyim. This is the wrong place to come and ask for Stockholm. So Zisha says, it can't be in the entire town. There's nobody who can help me out. So they tell him, yeah, there's one rich miser who lives in this town, and he doesn't give anybody anything at all. If you want, I'll show you where his house is, try your luck, but nobody's had any success yet. So Reb Zisha goes up to the miser's house, he knocks on the door, and he has good luck, the miser himself answers the door. The usher answers the door. He sees Reb Zisha standing outside the way he's dressed. Before Reb Zisha says a word, the door starts to close. So Reb Zisha says to the usher, you just answered the kasha I had all these years. You just answered my kasha. Thank you very much. So the usher is a little bit curious. What? He says to Reb Zisha, what was your kasha? How did I answer it? Tell me what happened. So Reb Zisha says, if the door's closed, I can't answer you. You have to open the door. Let me in. So the usher lets him in. Reb Zisha says, I always had a kasha. It says, v'chol ma'idech, with all your money. And the Gemara says there are those people who love the money more than they love the nefesh. Is it possible? Can a person care about his money more than his life? Without his life, his money is not worth anything. What do you mean he loves his money more? So Reb Zisha said, but you just answered my kasha. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, the Gemara in Bracha says, Hanaisei mekaspoi la'ani. One who gives his money to an ani, all of them about him it says, Malva Hashem chayin dao. One who's chayin dao, he favors a poor person, Malva Hashem, it's like he lent money to Hashem. And Hashem guarantees to pay him back. One who gives money to a poor person, Hashem guarantees to pay him back. So Zisha says to this miser, you obviously don't trust Hashem. Because the Pasuk says, one who lends money to a poor person, gives money to a poor person, Hashem pays back. You obviously don't trust Hashem enough with your money. But he says to the usher, tell me, do you go to sleep every night? Do you go to sleep every night? So Rosh says, oh, do I sleep every night? I sleep every night, and nobody wakes me up. I just have a good sleep. So Reb Zisha says to him, tell me, where does your neshama go at night when you sleep? What happens to your neshama? The yodcha afkedruchi. I say, I give over my neshama to Hashem every night. So Reb Zisha says to him, your neshama, you trust. Your neshama, you give over to Hashem every night. But your money, you don't trust Hashem. Your neshama, you'll give over. Your life, you'll give over to Hashem. But your money, you won't give over. I just found a person, says Reb Zisha, who values his life more than, who values his money more than his life. When it comes to your neshama, when you go to sleep at night, you give your neshama over to Hashem. But when it comes to money and trusting that Hashem will pay back the tzedakah, that you don't trust. He says, you just answer my kasha. I never met such a person in my whole life who values his life more, values his money more than his life. I just met somebody. Thank you very much for answering my kasha. Of course, he got the message, and he took care of him afterwards. And whether he changed or not, in the long run, we'll have to use our imagination. But Zisha got his point. He got his point across.
So
about
the
Benjamin of the food. Yeah. I think I said this over every year for the past, I don't know how many years, but it's such an emes of art, and the lesson is so powerful that it has to be said over again and again. Chabetz Chaim brings down, when it comes to learning Torah, the Yetzirah tries as hard as he can to stop a person from learning. And he has three main tactics, three main strategies to stop a person from learning. Sometimes a person wants to learn. So what happens? He opens up the Gemara, and he looks at Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, and he starts learning, and the Eitz Hara says, come on, who are you fooling? There's many daf in the Masechta, it's a long Masechta, you're not going to be able to finish the Masechta. It's going to take weeks of work, days, hours, you can't finish. A person opens up the Mishnayis, you're going to finish, what are you going to learn? One period, look how many more prokim there are, you can't finish everything. And the Eitz Hara talks it into a person, he's not going to finish, why bother? Don't even start, don't even try. One tactic the Eitz Hara uses. Sometimes the Eitz Hara comes and he says, you're learning? Learning's not for you. You're a Baba Boss. You're busy a whole day working. Learning's not for you. It's enough that you're able to get up, go to shul in the morning, go to Maariv at night, come to learn. Learning's for the Rosh Hashiva. Learning's for the Bachman and Beis Medrash. Learning's for the Gedolei Ador, for the Rabbonim. Learning, that's not for you. You belong working. You're doing fine without learning. That's not your job to learn. And the Eitz Hara convinces a person not to learn. And a third tactic the Eitz Hara uses is he comes and he says, today you're learning, now? Why now? You have plenty of time later on in life when things get easier, when things are smoother. Right now, life is very hard. You have a lot of tenders. You have a lot of things to worry about. No time to learn now. Who are you fooling? Set it aside for later on in life when things get easier. You have plenty of time to learn. But right now, you can't learn. The Eitz Hara tries to stop a person.
Unbelievable.
How do you answer back to the Eitz Hara? V'hoyu ha-dvarim ha-eila. The first thing you tell the Eitz Hara is, there are only these words. Right now I'm learning this stuff. I'm not concerned about what's later. I'm not concerned about what's before. I'm not concerned about the next Masechta. I'm not concerned about the rest of the Perik. I'm concerned about these words that are in front of me right now. And that's it, nothing else. You tell the Eitz Hara, you're only concerned about these words right now and nothing else. His whole taina falls off. When I'm learning, I only have these words in front of me right now. I don't have to worry about anything else. When the Eitz Hara comes and he says, you're learning. Learning's for big Rabbonim, Rosh Hashiva. You tell the Eitz Hara, I commanded you. Everybody has a chiv to learn. Everybody has a chiv. Not just Rabbonim, not just Rosh Yeshivas. I commanded you. Everybody has a chiv. Every person, every balabos, every person has a chiyuv to learn. And a person can't pat himself and saying, oh, it's not for me. Just the opposite. Hashem commanded you, and Hashem wants your learning. And the third tactic, hayoyim. When the Eitz Hara comes and he says, why today? Learn tomorrow. You have plenty of time later on in life. The answer is hayoyim. It's a mitzvah to learn today. And today's mitzvah I can only accomplish right now. Learning tomorrow is for tomorrow. But learning today is for today. The time to learn is now and not to be pushed off. So when the Eitz Hara comes with these three tainas, only these words, that I commanded you, right now, today, if a person keeps these words on his heart, in his mind, he'll be matzliach, he'll be able to overcome the Eitz Hara. Sometimes I hear people say, this is too hard, I can't do it, it's too long, we're never gonna yes, it's your job, right now, and only these words. A person takes a little at a time, it adds up, and a person is matzliach. Vaschanan al Hashem, going back to the beginning of the parasha. The Medrash brings down, Vaschanan is the gematria of 515, and Moshe Davin 515 tefillos to be zeicher to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem told Moshe, Rav Loch, stop, enough, not to be mispalel anymore. And Moshe had davened up until that point to be zeicher to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. We all know when we daven, everybody would like for all their bakoshes to be answered. Everybody has a list, everybody has their bakoshes. We all would like our bakoshes to be answered. Sometimes we feel a bakosh is answered, and sometimes we feel a bakosh is not answered. We see from Moshe that a person has a right to ask. If it's not answered, you could daven again. And a person could daven again. Moshe would have kept on davening on 515 tefillos if not for the fact that Hashem said Rav Loch to stop. Tefillah, we look at bakoshes, asking Hashem for a bakosha. But the truth is, tefillah is a lot deeper. And the Gemara tells us that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is mis'avel tefillos and shel tzadikim. That Hashem desires and He wants to hear the tefillos of tzaddikim. Hashem wants to hear the tefillah of tzaddikim. When a tzaddik davens, there's a kesher, there's a connection between the person davening and Hashem. The person davens with his full heart, and he asks, and he believes that Hashem is the only one who can answer his tefillah, a certain connection is created. And each time a person davens, that connection becomes stronger and stronger. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu desires that connection that's brought about by the tefillah of tzaddikim. When a person davens, a person forges and creates a connection between him and Hashem. And that's a purpose of tefillah besides asking the bakash. It's to create that connection between a person and Hashem. And a person davens from his heart, it creates that connection between a person and Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu's misavet for tefillah and shel tzaddikim. The Chassam Sofer used to daven very long. So somebody went over to him once and said to Chassam Sofer, probably as a joke, but he said to Chassam Sofer, why does he daven such a long Shema Yisrael? Why do you daven so long? The Pasuk says in Mishlei, in Perik Chav Ches, Meser Oznoi Mishmaya Taira, Gam Tfilosoi Taiva. One who removes his ears from listening to Taira, his Tfilo is a Taiva. So he said to Chassam Sofer, by davening so long, it's bittul Torah. If you won't daven so long, you'd be able to learn. It's bittul Torah if you're davening so long. What are you davening so long for? Why are you davening so long? And the Chassam Sofer said, the Gemara tells us in Brachas Aflamet, Kohamayrich b'tfilah, ma'arichim lo yomo v'shinoisov. Whoever davens a long tfilah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards with arichus yomim. So said the Chassam Sofer, I'm not worried about the time that I used during davening wasn't used for learning, because I'll be zaychet harichas yomim, I'll have more days, I'll live longer, I'll be able to make up all the time that I spent davening, I'll have that extra time, harichin lo yomav ushnaisav to learn. Okay. Good. Everybody davens differently. No two people are the same. Everybody's mind works differently, thinks differently, everybody's different. But when it comes to davening, sometimes, instead of just running through it, 1, 2, 3, automatic pilot, and we had the Gemara today, that person's lips keep on moving after he finishes, automatic pilot, think a little bit about davening, what it means, a person's talking to Hashem. If you go to the Shulchan Aruch, the hachonis that a person's supposed to make before davening, it sets the attitude for the davening. Especially at night, we come from learning straight into davening. It's a tremendous schus to be able to come from one mitzvah, from learning straight into davening. Instead of running fast, an extra minute, an extra 2 minutes, a person thinks, concentrates on the davening, it changes the whole davening. I think it was one of the Gerer Rebbe's, somebody once complained to him that his mind races during davening, his mind is thinking about everything else besides davening. What should he do? So the Rebbe told him like this, he said, it's true, if somebody can't control his thoughts, he's an oinus, it's not his fault. But it depends. He says, what do you do in the morning when you wake up? If a person gets up in the morning and he gets up, he washes Nagavasa, he learns, says a little tehillim, prepares himself for davening, and then he puts on his talis and tefillin, he davens, and his mind starts racing. No, he's an oinus. What could he do? But if somebody wakes in the morning, and he listens to the news, and he balances his checkbook, and he takes care of whatever else he has to take care of, then he goes and davens, and his mind starts racing, he says, that's not an oinus. That's your thoughts. That's who you are. Because that's what you did before davening. Depends how a person approaches davening. Person approaches davening with the right attitude, then a person can is davening. We just had Tisha B'Av, and it's a very nice Chassam Sofer. The Gemara tells us that Kol Mis'abel Yerushalayim is Zaychev Roy B'Nechmasa. Whoever is Mis'abel Yerushalayim, whoever mourns on Yerushalayim, is Zaychev to see the Nechama. It doesn't say a Russian Osid, Yiske V'Yereh B'Nechmasa. He will be Zaychev and he will see the Nechama. It says Zaychev Roy B'Nechmasa. Right now. He's zoicha right now to see the Nechama. And the Chassam Sofer explains, how is that possible? A person is sitting on Avegos on Tisha B'Av, saying Kinnis, and he's zoicha to see the Nechama. He's a Avegos. Tisha B'Av is called a Mayed. How can we call the Mayed a Yomtiv? What kind of a Yomtiv is Tisha B'Av? It's the saddest day of the year. And the Chassam Sofer explains beautifully. We have Chazal teach us that when a person dies, Nishtacheach min aleif. The mace is eventually forgotten from a person's heart, from the mind. And a person gets over his aveilus. But a person who's alive, and he's missing, he didn't die, a chai is not nishtacheach min aleif. And that's why by Yaakov Avinu, he wasn't mekabel nechama for Yosef. They were never able to comfort him about Yosef, because since Yosef was alive, the gezeirah that a person overcomes his tzar, his aveilus, is only on a mace, but not on a chai. Says Chassam Sofer, kol mis'abel. If a person can sit in Avegos on Tisha B'Av, that is the Nechama itself. The fact that he can sit in Avegos shows
that the Avelus is not a mate. It's not something that happened a long time ago. It's not something that happened 2,000 years ago and it's over with. But if you could sit the Avelus on Tisha B'Av, Zoyche V'Roi B'Nechem Osa, that shows that this matter is very much alive to him. This matter is very much applies and is alive right now. And there will be a Yeshua, there will be a Nechama. It's not something that just happened and it's over with. Like all the other nations of the world that they're forgotten about and they're written down in history and that's the end. But Klal Yisrael, they're able to sit and mourn and cry over what happened 2,000 years ago. Kol HaMasabel, the fact that Avelus is alive, it shows that it's not something dead that happened, but just the opposite. It's very much alive, the Avelus. Kol HaMasabel, that itself is the Nechama. The fact that we feel the Avelus, it shows us that this is still alive and there will be a Geula. That in itself is the Nechama that we have at the time of the Avelus. The first week is Nachamu Nachamu Ami. It starts the Shiva Nechemto, the 7 weeks of Nechamo, Shtaka Bezoicha, to have the Nachamu Nachamu Ami, and we Shmizoicha to the 7 weeks of Nechamo, and to the Gulu Shreim Mehir Yemiro. Amen.